Hello everyone. We're gathered here today for another session of Mindfulness for Beginners in English conducted by Nisarnavanaya. This is today's 7th September 2024, and the session is 148th session of Mindfulness for Beginners. And we would warmly like to welcome Venerable Rohini for today's session, and we would like to welcome everyone who's participating via Zoom and anyone who's participating via Facebook live stream or anyone who would be watching later. As usual, today's program will commence with the in-session practice of mindfulness, guided by Venerable Rohini, and we will then move on to the talk on today's topic, which is ego, and we will then move on to presenting any reports we have received to Venerable, and then we will, if we have time, we will have a little time for questions from everyone. So to start today's session, I would like to welcome Venerable Rohini to start the in-session practice of mindfulness. Over to you, Venerable.
Hello, everyone. Today, related to the topic, I would like to ask, either sitting or walking, it doesn't matter. We can do sitting or walking, it doesn't, as you prefer. So what you're going to do while you are walking or while you are sitting, you need to observe your thoughts. So in here, especially, you need to look for I. So in even any thought, if you can find without I, or if you can think that there's a I produce these thoughts, or is, whether it is naturally those thoughts are coming. So what you need to observe those things. So it doesn't matter you sit or you walk, whatever the posture, it doesn't matter. So you need to observe the thoughts. So thoughts, when it starts, if you can catch them, you need to try that thoughts, how it initiate. When you can recognize it. So, and as soon as it initiates, can you recognize it? Or later on, you can recognize it? Or after recognizing, what is your feelings towards that thought? So those are the one I am asking today to observe. So I hope everybody can do that. Is there any questions about today's in-session practice? No? Okay, so that's good. So we will observe our thoughts. Who is behind that thought? Whether I behind that thought? Whether the thinker producing that thought? If you can find the sense of self in those thoughts, when did you find it? Or how did you find it? So, as soon as it begins, it starts, can you catch it? So, those are the things I'm asking. So, shall we do that? Okay, everyone. I hope you all could do something, but I am going to discuss after the talk in the discussion time, so we can discuss the experience. Is that okay, Sonali? Rajika?
Yes, Anubhavin, that's perfectly fine. And thank you very much for that session. So next on the agenda is the talk. Today's topic is ego. And I warmly welcome Venerable Rohini to give our talk for this week. Over to you, Venerable.
Thank you, Tarali. I was thinking that it is fine to lose battles to win the war. So that is the topic. So it's okay. So as I remember, ego is a Latin word, I think. So it is a Latin word. I think Sigmund Freud bring it to the Western world. According to my back knowledge about the early childhood teaching experience and those things. So that ego is usually not in Buddhism. Actually, we don't use it is as a exact translation to selflessness or selfless, self, myself, ourselves, we say so. So anyway, I would like to start the talk with this actually, because most of the time we hear or we say most of the time about when there is any conflict or something happen inside the house, or maybe in a workplace, or wherever, we say, oh, I got my way in the end. We usually say that. Or I won in the end. So those things we hear quite often, as also we say those things. So if we can analyze that, what is underneath in this statement? What is the meaning that contained in that statement? If we can analyze, if we can go inside the statement, it is kind of winning. So that winning sentence, it has kind of, there is a fighting or arguing. So there should be some kind of conflict. So at the end, the talking person is win. So that person is won the struggle. So in that statement, I don't know how you think, but I feel like, oh, there is a kind of anger there, as well as there is a ego, myself. So in that sentence, we can feel the anger. So, okay, I won. So, I finished that struggle. So, now I am punished that person or something like that. It is inside that statement. So, I feel like, okay, so there's an anger. As well as, so I am. I won in the end. So, there's I. So, ego is there as well as anger is there. Sometimes people fight and argue, and you know, there's a lot of tense to do those things. Sometimes they are fighting or arguing some kind of issues. There are some issues, but sometimes they are no longer relevant. Even they are not relevant, they wish to continue the fight. They wish to continue the argument. So sometimes we see those things in our circle of friendships, or within the house life, or wherever we go, we can see those things. And other thing is, when they say so, or when they are arguing, even though it is not finished, sometimes when they argue, when they fight, So when they have conflict, when they have some kind of struggle between two people or two groups or something, so they want to win. So there is a desire for winning. So this desire, so usually we have desires for food, we have desires for to things to see, we have desires to things to hear, nice songs or something like that, and desire for nice things to eat and smell, and you know, all those things are, we have desires, the sensual desires are there. But this is kind of desire to hurt someone. We like to see the other person as a loser. So that is why we fight against that person. So although, as I said before, sometimes that issue is no longer relevant, but it's still people keep it in the mind and think about it. And whenever the possibilities arise, the people like to argue, the people like to fight against that person, against that group of people. So that is kind of a kind of ego, kind of self. So there is me and I am here, and there are some other people who are not according to my opinion, they are not okay. So I am not happy about it. So what is happening, then I am going to argue with them and I am going to fight with them. So even though it is not relevant or irrelevant, it doesn't matter. So in there as well as when we see, when we look into those statements, when we even when we say, sometimes we say so. So when we said, if we can look into my heart, look into my thoughts in depth, then we can see, okay, I want to win as well as I want to see the other person as a loser. So I want to see that other person lose the event or conflict or whatever it is. So in that situation, I felt there's a anger and ego. So usually the anger gets us into the fight. And it is our ego that keeps us there. There are something happen. You know, the conflicts are happening all the time because nobody think equally. They don't. Even twins, they don't think in the same way. But that whatever happened, the conflict is there, but anger arise within me because the ego is there. So ego says, okay, it is hurting you, or it is doing some kind of harassments to you. So these are developing in that situation because of the ego. So in that sense, we can say, okay, anger gets us to the fight. Because of anger, we keep going arguing. We keep making conflicts. Because of the anger, we say things, bad speech, bad actions. We get those things. We do those things. But we keep it long. We keep it for long and keep it going on and on because of the ego. So in that sense, most of the time, if there is any kind of conflict, so any kind of arguments or fighting or any conflicts, yes, then the anger is there and the ego is maintaining it, ego is taking it, dragging it for long. So in one sense, we can see that's how ego harm us. So in there, then when we see that, when we caught up with our ego and egoistic opinions, whenever it can happen. So when we caught up with those egoistic opinions, so my ego is racing, or it make different opinions, different ideas. So then we need to understand we lose more than we gain. Out of anger, yes, of course. When we have that kind of anger, it is all of a sudden it comes. In Buddhism, actually, it says like a frog. The frog, it is very tiny, but when something touch that frog, frog become like a balloon. So it blow. So anger is Buddha, actually. Buddha said anger is equal to that frog. So anger is happen, you know, it happens. It all the time, out of the word, out of some action. So whatever the reason, anger will come. But when that ego interfere with that anger, so then we get caught up with that ego and the opinions, egoistic opinions. When that happen, mostly we lose or we miss something, or sometimes it is the best thing. So rather than we gain, we lose. So that is one thing, because of the ego, we have to face. And the other thing is, success is not always measured in the moment of success. So in this moment, if we are not successful, so for example, not only in the conflict situation, not only in the argumental situation, but sometimes whatever we are, our goal, the short-term goal, will not be successful. But we need to understand that success is not something we can estimate with the current situation. So it should be a long-term situation. So that wide vicinity or wide vicinity, we need to have that. Otherwise, when that short-term goals are defeated or we lose short-term goals, then we, most of the time, we get frustration. Most of the time, we get angry. So when that happens, what is the thing? We get frustration, means we get anxiety, and we are thinking again and again about that. And then we are thinking about how it happened, and if there's any persons, we get angry about the person and the group of person or the higher ranking person. It doesn't matter, even at the home situation, we will get angry with that also. So then what we need to understand, the true measurement, true measure of the success is not perfection, it's not the success in this moment, but the ability, what we gain, the ability, as ability. Sometimes we get adaptability, sometimes we feel that we are evolving in a strength wise, and we can keep moving forward. So if we have that kind of abilities, skills, then we need to understand we are in a success, on the way to the success. So if we can understand that, if something happened with other people or other group of people or other places, then we can step back and think twice. Although we have that anger in myself, but we can think twice. Rather than caught up with the ego, we can think, okay, no need of anger. There's anger, but no need of continuing it, because I have opportunity to be successful. I have opportunity in front of me, not right now, but in future. So likewise, there may be some kind of defeat times, there may be some kind of lost time. But we should understand that the lost or the defeat is not the thing, it's bothering us, that the ego is the bothering thing. So when we can understand that, okay, so ego is there, so that is why we are so much of frustrated or bothered about this situation. But I have gained some kind of skills, abilities, through that defeated thing or through that loss process. But still I have that, yes, abilities, skills to use in the future. So in that sense, we have the success We are on success to the to process of success. So, and the other thing is, if we can maintain those abilities, so whatever the ability we gain through that process, although we lost it, we are lose. It doesn't matter. We lost. We are not gain, but we gain kind of abilities. But if we can't maintain those abilities in future, we gain some abilities, but if we can't maintain those abilities, then also in the middle of those process, we interfere with the ego. Because whatever we gain, we dissolve it or we just forget it. Out of the ego, okay, no, I lost it. So that is repeating these thoughts are making lot of harm in your mind rather than that anger, rather than that anxiety because of losing that event. You get anxiety, but it is not the thing that hurting or that making most of the harm to you is the ego. So when we understand that, then you can have some kind of strength to maintain whatever the ability you gain through that process. It is defeated. It is, I mean, lost, completely lost. That outcome is not any longer beneficial. But still, whatever you earn as a skill, if you can maintain that, earning is one thing and the maintaining is other thing. So if you have that kind of resilience or commitment to the bigger picture, so then you are in a winning process. One other thing I like to mention that whenever you lose something or you lost something or whenever you unsuccessful, you can use those opportunities for the sharpen your skills also. And last, whenever these things happen, we need to have kind of wisdom to understand what is ego, what is anger, and what is success, and what is the skills I earn, and those things. You need to have a kind of wisdom. To have that kind of wisdom, whenever that egoistic driving is taking us down in an unproductive path, if we don't have that wisdom, kind of wisdom, or sometimes we need to let down, or sometimes we need to let go things. So we need to have kind of wisdom to take that decisions. So how can we earn that wisdom? This is the question. So we all face those things. We all have kind of, you know, unsuccessful goals. In the past, maybe in the future we will have. So whenever these things happen, it doesn't matter some kind of people, because of some kind of people it has happened, or because of the home, or what kind of the reason is, doesn't matter. But when we have kind of feeling, that kind of feeling, the anger is there and the ego is joining with the anger, and that harmful, that make a very harmful journey in the life. Maybe at work or at home or whatever it is. But that wisdom, with the wisdom, if we can see, okay, I am now blocked with the ego, or now I am very driving force is my ego. So now I want to escape from that. Or now I had to let go of that. Then we need to have wisdom. So how we get that wisdom is the mindfulness. So if we are mindful, if we are practicing mindfulness, we get the wisdom of what is happening right now. When we are mindful, we know, okay, when it is angry, when I am having angry feelings, I know I am having angry feelings. When I know I am more than I need, I am frustrating, so I know that. So when I have anxiety, I know it. When I have depression, I know it because I am mindful. So how can we do that? We need to practice mindfulness of sitting, walking, or day-to-day activities. When we have that kind of mindfulness practice, in the beginning, also we have that frustration. Frustration is there because when we sit or when we having walking, the mindful walk, our minds are everywhere. So it is roaming everywhere with the past, with the future, or with something else, or with someone else. So mind is everywhere. So when that happens, that proliferation is happening. So we are not relaxed. So when that happens, we feel like, okay, I lost. So the losing feeling is there. So what we need to have, then we need to understand we are having a long-term goal. The short-term goal is having practice walking or sitting meditation or walking or sitting mindfulness practice. So right now I am practicing mindfulness. So the short-term goal is practicing mindfulness over sitting or walking or doing some activities. But long-term goal is to have a relaxed, serenity and peaceful mind. So we need, whenever we have that kind of struggle, you know, we can't focus on mindfulness or we can't do anything and it's, the mind is everywhere, it's agitating. So when these things happen, we need to have our long-term goal in front of us. Okay, this is not what I am going to do. My long-term goal is something completely different. So I need to be patient and I need to tolerate or I need to make or gain skills. Sit for 15 minutes. Maybe we are not mindful. Maybe we are not looking at any breath. Maybe we are not concentrate on or having any awareness about the body. In the beginning, I think no one is escaped from that feeling. We all felt that way because we can't concentrate on that. We can't aware of what is happening around me. So when that happened, that frustration is there. When that frustration is there, we need to have a reminding thoughts that, okay, I need to have a long-term goal. So long-term goal is having a relaxed, peaceful mind. Whenever I want, then I can be mindful. So that is my purpose. So short-term, it is difficult. But I need to have that perseverance. I need to have that calmness. Maybe it is not working, but I will believe my teacher. Or I will believe those. Most of the time, we use the scientific evidence to people. You know, then they can believe. Because rather than we say, okay, this will happen and this is the outcome and this is the result of being mindful, rather than saying, we can show some scientific evidence. So sometimes we give those evidence. So we can, we all anyone can keep that scientific evidence in front of you as a long-term goal. I'm not saying to believe the science, but it is something you can hang on. So, and sometimes when you are very mindful and you are established mindfulness, you are a good practitioner, long-term practitioner, even though that person also sometimes has no any relaxation or any serenity. Sometimes your ego and anger mostly come forward, even without knowing. So even though you are a good practitioner, even though you are a repetitive practitioner, but anger is there. So sometimes we think, okay, no longer I get angry. Sometimes we think, okay, I am not going to having any you know, frustration feelings or any distress with the other people, even with my family members. We feel, we think so, but naturally they are hiding in us. So they come forward, they arise usually. When the reasons come, the effect or the fruit will come. So when that happen, the frustrated mind is there. Your ego says, okay, I am a good practitioner. I am practicing now 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 1 year, 2 years I am practicing, but still I am having this kind of feelings. I am still having this kind of thoughts. So it is a frustration. That can happen. So when that happen even, so you need to find a long-term goal in front of you. Then you can forget whatever happening with your mindfulness practice. Even I mean not I am not saying about the other things when you are in a society, these things will happen, but I am not talking about those things. Definitely you will find angry movements, you will find egoistic movement, you will find jealous movements. So there are plenty of things that will happen while we are living in day-to-day life. But in here, I am talking about while you are practicing mindfulness, even practicing mindfulness, you will get hurt. You will get that frustrated mind because of the practice is not going well. So when that happens, you need to have that kind of long-term goal in front of you. You need to believe the teacher. You need to believe the all those evidence we say. So trust with the teacher or trust with the scientific evidence or whatever. So we need to keep it. Whenever we fell down from the practice, sometimes with the difficulties inside the working place, inside my own thoughts, sometimes it is so hard to eradicate or so hard to forget my thoughts. So my thoughts are my thoughts. So it is with me. And that is the ego. So it is going like, you know, it's like a circle. Whatever the thought, it is mine. So we know that. So we like to grab it like as mine. So whenever there is I or mine, so then always it is suffering. So even though it is a good vibe thing or it's a pleasurable thing, when it is finished, that pleasurable thing is finished, then we get frustrated. For example, while we are practicing mindfulness, on one day this is a quiet, good and very, very relaxing mind and a very successful sitting or successful walking has happened, and the next week it will not. Well, last week it has happened and this week it hasn't happened. So what is happening in my mind? It's a frustration. Okay, I am not good. So although you are 6 months, you were doing so good, only one day it is good enough to make that frustration. So likewise, even in the day-to-day life, you will find lot of frustrated things, lot of irritable things and lot of arguments, lot of conflicts. So whatever happened, you need to understand that out of any conflicts, out of any frustrations, the anger is the forerunner. Anger is the first one. It's appeared. And then ego join with that. When the ego join, there's no any escape. Because if there is anger only, not ego, then anger is there. When anger is disappeared, it is disappeared. But with the ego, we keep it forever, sometimes forever. That person said so, that person said so, that person did so. So we keep it going on and on, even after a year or 10 years later, even we say, okay, that person did so. So that is the ego. So most of the time, the thoughts are not the thing we, hurting us, but the ego. So what we need to do to escape from ego, what we need to do, practice mindfulness. When we do mindful walking, so we know that walking is there. So if we are relaxed, we just observe walking body or what is happening while we are walking. So when that happens, the ego is not there. So because we in the beginning, actually, when we report our practice, our experience, we usually put I heard this. My body was doing like that. You know, I and my is there a lot of I and my there in the early reports. The practitioner, when they're beginners, when they are begin to write the reports, lot of I and me and my is there. But gradually, when you learn more and more, when you do practice and when you learn how to write the report, it's gradually, it's no longer I is there. No longer mine is there. My body or my leg, my back is aching. No, we don't say. Usually we don't say that because it's the my thing and the I or egoistic thing is, how do you go, fading away. Little by little is fading away. So the mindfulness itself, without any effort, we put our full effort to be a mindful person, but mindfulness itself give us wisdom and fade away that egoistic feelings, fade away the egoistic thinking. So that is how we get serenity. That is how we get freedom from those thoughts. That is how we get that freedom from anger. Anger will not disappear because anger is one of the 52 characters of mind. It is there. It will not eradicate. It is there. Always it is there. But ego, if we dilute or if we fade away our ego, then that anger, the anger is no longer harming in that sense. So again, I like to say what we need to do to fade away the ego, to fade away what is happening around me or myself, we need to practice. We need to do the mindfulness practice again and again. At least start with 15 minutes. It is not that much of time when we consider to 24 hours. So you can start in 15 minutes time and then you can increase little by little. Usually I say 1 at a time, 1 minute at a time. So start with 15 minutes, then 16 minutes, then 17 minutes. Gradually you can increase up to 1 hour at least. So walking at 1 hour and the sitting 1 hour. And in the meantime, you can maintain your day-to-day activities whenever possible, in a mindful manner, mindful way. So that is also a kind of help to achieve, to be a successful wisdom, having a successful wisdom. So that is the beginning. So when you do again and again the mindfulness practice, your wisdom will increase, wisdom will improve to overcome or to fade away the ego. So the other thing is always try to focus on the bigger picture, not to the small goals. this, we need to chase a small goals, but you need to, or we need to think that small goals are small goals. Whenever we fail, it doesn't matter. So we have a bigger picture, we have a big, a long-term goal. For example, whenever we have goals, short-term goals, we need to think about the opportunity cost. What is opportunity cost is, for a, I will give an example. If there is a businessman, so he knows that opportunity cost is economy. So he used to use his time more and more on your, his business. Okay, so that is the good opportunity cost for him. So thinking about that, if that person choose to work late night, so every day that person is working late night. So what he miss is spending time with his family. So what is the opportunity cost for him? The family health, the relationship health, his physical health. Those are one side of the opportunity cost. The other side is his business. So what he lose gradually, his family, his children maybe, his or her. So what is happening? He battle, he maybe he win with the battle of business. But how about his war of life? So that is what opportunity cost is. So we need to understand what is the opportunity cost and what is the most important thing in the life. So even that example, it says his ego. Because of his ego, he wanted to earn more money, be a more successful businessman or world known business person. So that is also ego. Saying that, one other thing or a couple of other things I want to say, the more as much as possible, try to not to compare yourself with others. That is a very good lesson if you can practice more and more. It might be not easy in the beginning, but when you practice it again and again, you will find it is easy. So don't compare for anything, for the body or the abilities or the skills or whatever. Money, don't compare with others. So, and think you are the, how you call, least knowledgeable, least beauty, least, everything least. The I am the least, how do you call, everything, I am the least. So then there is no competition. There is no comparison, no competition. So that is also leaving a less ego. And then the other thing is never complain and surrender your needs whenever you have needs. So think twice or thrice, do I need those things? Does those things increase my ego or reduce my ego? So you can avoid those things and confrontations you can avoid. You can avoid arguments. All those are coming through the egoistic mind. And finally, I would like to say, look for survival first too, then prosper later. So first survive and then maybe you can prosper the later your life. So the long-term goal is the prosperity maybe, but you need to survive right now. So that keeping mind, and I hope some kind of help you might get through my talk, and that also wishing the help that you can have for the mindfulness practice. Saying that, thank you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Venerable Rohini. That was a very helpful and a lot of gems in that for us to take home. And so next in the agenda is the Q&A session and the reports sent in to us by all the listeners. And to conduct this one, I invite Rajika to start the session.
Thank you very much, Sonali, and Avasarai Venerable Manyo, to conduct the Q&A session. Usually before the session starts, we share the beginner's guide with all of our participants. If anyone joined today as a beginner, so you can get the idea about practicing the mindfulness as a beginner. We practice mindfulness through three different ways: mindful walking, mindful sitting, and day-to-day activities. So initially, we start to introduce mindfulness through sitting and walking, and gradually we can take that mindfulness you have developed through sitting and walking to your daily life. There are a number of videos you can find through Satipatthana website, but we have mentioned two basic videos. So if anyone new here, or if anyone want to refresh the memory about mindfulness walking or sitting, you can go through watch those two videos and get the basic instruction and start practicing or continue your practice. The most important thing is, as Venerable Manu mentioned during her talk, the daily practice. You know, it doesn't matter how long we talk or how many sessions we have done. If we don't practice actually this the mindfulness in daily basis, it won't help us. So we have seen the examples from children from age 5 onwards. They practicing the mindfulness, and they got so much results, the positive impact on their life. So we believe all our participants who join here and listening via the Facebook live stream, they all have that kind of neatness to understanding about the mindfulness. So once you get that understanding, we highly encourage you to practice daily. Start with 15 minutes, and you can gradually increase the time. And as you mentioned, when you complete 2 hours of each practice session, then you can write a report. That's it, the next important one. As I mentioned, the practicing is very important, and the writing reports is also very important. It will give two important impacts. Like, first one is, when you explain your experiences, the Venerable Swami Nuhanse or Manyo will guide you if you're doing something wrong, or is there any correction need to be done. The second thing is, when all the other participants, we can inspire them to practice. When they hear the other reports, they will be encouraged to continue their practice. So it's very important you practice daily as well as you write this report. So when you write the reports, make it simple. When you do sitting meditation, mindfulness, so how do you feel? Like, do you feel your breath, or you feel your rise and fall of your tummy, or you feel your posture? Like that, you can write it in simple manner. And when you walk, the same thing. How you, what you feel in your soul, how many footsteps you can walk mindfully, like that. So once you practice, and once you wrote those reports, you can forward those reports to us via the email or the Google form we have mentioned here. And then as you all know, at everyday sessions after the talk, we will discuss those reports, and the Venerable Swami Nuhanse or Manu will guide you to the correct direction. And You all can listen to the all our previous programs through the Nisanavanya website or the Facebook Live recordings as well. So those are the guides. That's our guide for the beginners. So now I will go to the today's question. Avasarai, Venerable Manuo, we have two written questions today. I seek your permission to submit those questions.
Yes, Rajika.
Yes, Manuo, first question is, Teruan Saranai Bante. Once I presented the experience of self-hatred thoughts, within brackets, suicidal. With the guidance of Bhante's feedback, kept practicing. So here is the observation. Things arise and fade away without labels as thoughts or sounds, etc. Like something away happening. Still the presence of so-called thoughts can be noticed slightly. If mentioned, in example, it's like this. Not a full picture of the dog appears, but from his tail can be identified it's a dog. Such a thing with this thought. Same time still can be noticed. Very slight blur, discomfort, if not dislike of arising of a thought as it is. So aware of that and observe discomfort as it is in its blur mode. Same time, it is like there are two options within bracket choices. Can stay without even noticing or observing, like no care, within brackets. Still thoughts presence is noticed. Second option is to be aware of the presence of the thoughts and the discomfort. Then what happens? Is that thought disappears from one glance, like when light came, dark vanishes. Kept observing these two options. Found that if it goes to observe, there is an urge to remove the presence of the thought. So found that it's better to let those be there and stay with no care. One thing more. There is discouragement to express these thoughts. It's not because others can judge on what is presented and think of me. Initially, that was there, felt not to reveal. Noticing such a thing was there, an urge came as reveal it in a suitable audience. So it was expressed in reports despite the urge to not to reveal. But doing that, noticed power of those thoughts reduced. Currently, there is tiredness of converting everything to words while things are fading without labels. It's like this labeling process is a tiring one. Bhante, please guide. Teruvan Saranai, end of the report, Manu.
Okay. Several things I noticed from the report. So it's not dog, but the tail. So the angry thoughts or frustrated thoughts are there. So not like before. The example is giving as a dog. As a whole thing, but only now she can see the tail, but understand that's the dog. Yeah, so in my talk, I said the anger is one of the 52 characters of mind. So anger is not going anywhere. So although you can see it is only tail, so, but you can imagine there is a dog. The dog is also there. Only you can see now tail, because now you are not any longer happy or any longer interest about seeing those things. You are not interested to see the full thoughts, the angry thoughts. whatever the frustrating thoughts, whatever making you anxiety, making you danger. So you are not any longer interested of it. So that is why you see the tail end of the thought. You see that and you recognize it as a dog because you know that. So my advice is, don't expect that dog will disappear. Dog will be there, and in few weeks time or few days time, when you practice more and more, even though you will not see the tail end, you will not see tail also. Practice it. When you practice in a week times or 2 weeks time, according to your practice, according to your time you put, you will no longer see even the tail. But the thing is, you need to understand that the whole dog is there. The anger is there. It is with us. Everybody has that. Not only you. We all has those things. We all has that kind of intrusive thoughts. We all have that kind of bad thoughts. If we think that bad. So who is saying that bad? I said that bad. If I give that kind of judgmental, if I label it as bad, it is bad. But otherwise, the thoughts are thoughts. So as I said today in my talk, so anger is there. So you might get any the other feelings related to anger, suicidal feelings, or you know, lot of feelings you can entangle with the anger. But it could be there all the time. But the thing is, as long as you label it, so the label is there. So you labeling it with the ego. So ego is, you have, you know, kind of upper one. You can sometimes you have the lower one. When you have feeling like suicidal feeling, that means your ego is low, very low. So you don't need, you feel like, okay, no longer I am valid, no longer I am good for this world. So when you are practicing, as Swami Nasa said, you practice it again and again. When you practice, now you see the tail end. You will not see any longer the tail end as well, because you are losing that interest of judging yourself, judging your thoughts. So when that disappear, now you say this in a blur mode, so it will go also, the blur mode also will disappear. If you practice more and more again and again, it will not come again. Most probably it will not come again. But if you stop practice again, that thought, because it is dog is there. So if you practice, then you are mindful, then you can understand thoughts, then you are not any longer labeling it. So then you will have that free mind. The other thing is that in that report, it says observing without any care. And the second thing is aware with that discomfort. For me, both are good. Usually, normal persons are normal mindfulness, not practicing person. If the person is not practicing mindfulness, they can't do that. They can't do that. They can't observe. They observe only one thing. Now you have both ends. You see both ends. So that is an advantage. When your mind is down, you can no care. You can do no care, observing no care, without any care. You just observe, thoughts are coming and going, coming and going. No judgmental, no any labeling. But sometimes you have a high kind of mind. You are not lower. You are not with the anxiety, or you are not with the pressure. So when you have that kind of high mind, high thoughts, then you can look at that discomfortable thing also. While you are practicing, You are aware that discomfortable things, and you know that. So both things are good. Both things you are very good at looking at. So that is very good thing actually. If someone can say that, okay, I can see thoughts like this and that, that is a very good achievement. I'm so happy about Swami Nas actually, his guidance. So do this, continue those, whatever Swami Nas said. And don't expect that hatred feelings move away. But what you need to do, hatred feelings or anger is there. It is not only for you. We all have that. So it is come and go. It is like, you know, when you are hungry, you eat and then you don't feel any more hungry. So likewise, anger, when it comes, you feel angry. And when it goes, it goes. So don't give a lot of gravity or a lot of weight to those thoughts. And thoughts are thoughts. So saying that, I would like to ask what has happened to early session when we observe the thoughts. If someone else want to discuss about those thoughts also, we can do. That no report, that's what I want to say. And revealing is also good. It is a kind of medicine. Although for a normal person, although for a high valued person, the revealing, anytime when you have some kind of negative or positive, or highly positive or highly negative feelings, the revealing is the best. So do that. And continue as Swami Nancy said, and looking forward to see you next week also, and give us report. Although I am not here, but writing report might be a good idea for that person also.
Thank you very much, Manu. The second question is sitting meditation, primary object. Watching breath. After a few in and out breaths, fell sleepy but made a determination to stay awake. There were several cycles of this happening. Occasional images appeared and disappeared but were short-lived. Cannot recall many distractions. Breath was subtle. Session ended after an hour. Walking meditation, watching sensation on feet, walking barefoot on grass, noted uneven surface of the ground, warmth in areas, ticklish sensations in sole, hardness of roots of trees under the foot, thoughts came and went as did sounds, walked for 45 minutes, at one point wanted to stop to get a drink, but made determination to continue, which happened. Mindfulness in the day. Nothing, noting impatience, irritation, and at times anger arising with others. Observed this to be worse when hungry, but not each time. At times, disappointment observed soon after. A pain noted in chest on and off in the last few days, but observing this arise and pass, changing nature, position and character of the pain and how it changes. Mind calm and several hours pass with no pain presence. Much gratitude to Bhante and organizers. End of the report, Manu.
It's also a good report. And explain very well about the walking and sitting and the noticing about the thoughts in day-to-day life, day-to-day activities. So that is a good example of report, especially that walking meditation. In that report, it says the uneven surface and the tickly sensation, the observation are there. So that's a good one, good observation, because especially when we walk, when we having mindful walk, we are kind of, I can't say struggling, but the mind is moving here and there because sounds are there, the scenes, you can see things, and you know, the mind is jumping from one to the other. So when you have kind of a good mindfulness, you can feel those, you know, tickly feelings and the uneven surface and all those things. And in the sitting also, it says that no distraction and good sitting also. So good thing, good one. And in day-to-day life, observing mind, observing those angry feelings and things is good. So if you can identify it, and if you can, I'm not saying while you are doing sitting meditation, but when you are in the daily life, if you understand you have that angry thoughts or any kind of negative or positive, extremely negative or extremely positive thoughts, you can analyze it if you want. You can analyze it, and by analyzing, you can go deep into the roots. Why I am get angry, and why I am get jealousy feeling, or why I am get those frustration. Whatever the impatience or whatever the feelings is there, why? What caused it? What is the immediate reason? Is there any, like today topic, is there any backlog? In fast something happened, still are you keeping it with your ego? So you can analyze them, and if you have a chance, if you have that kind of mindfulness or that kind of high mind, non-judgmental mind, you can cure that wound. If you have that long-term grudge or long-term something is bothering you because of that, if you get that hatred feeling or anger or impatience or whatever it is, so you can clear it. So saying that, yeah, good report. Please do the same.
Thank you very much, Manio. That's the end of the written reports and questions. So if anyone want to raise a question or submit a report, verbal report, or maybe discuss any the thing regarding the talk, I think we can give the time now. You can raise your Zoom hand and ask your question or submit your report. All right, Ashini, you can ask your question.
You told those reports that it is possible to see the whole picture and not the dog conspicuously. And then the defilements will be in the outward. But I want to know whether is it possible to eradicate the defilements by doing this practice, even eventually. That is all I want to ask. So thank you.
Yeah, the defilements eradicate naturally. We can't think and we can't do it by force. Or we can't do it like thinking, okay, I am going to eradicate this defilement. I am going to eradicate that defilement. We can't do that, but by doing practice, by doing mindfulness practice, that wisdom is arise. Please remember, the wisdom is the one clean or cleansing the defilements. So what we do by doing mindfulness, we let that wisdom to arise. So that is what happened. So just please trust Swami Nuhansa and trust Loku Swami Nuhansa and do practice mindfulness. And then the defilements, you know, the total defilements eradicate when the arahatship is there. But before that, it is diluted. It is fade away. When it's fade away, it is so easy. But how it is happen is the wisdom. The key is the wisdom. To arise wisdom, we need to practice mindfulness. Is that answer is good enough, Ashini?
That is very clear, Minhansa. Now I am not frightened. I am not afraid. Thank you very much, Teruvan Saranai, Minhansa.
You're welcome, Teruvan Saranai.
Anyone else have any questions? Or maybe Manu mentioned during the activity, like the mindfulness session, like if anyone want to discuss about that as well, we can. Yes. Panchani, you can.
Avasarai, Manu. Hello, everybody. I just wanted to say that, you know, because I've found myself in a situation that where heavy anxiety and emotions arise, what I did was practice intensive metta in all directions. And when those anger and hatred and anxiety arose, I was able to divert them because of the intensively practicing metta. I just wanted to ask Anya whether...
Yeah, that's good thing. When you talk about metta, so I need to say this, it is not relevant to this group, but I need to say, Buddha prescribed those metta meditation, metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha, the four things we can use. What we are doing by using those, you know, when we are sitting quietly, if you notice in the beginning of this session, I asked you to watch your thoughts, look at your thoughts. So if you are mindful about thoughts and if you look at those thoughts are low always. Always the thoughts are running behind. It's the background thoughts are there. All the time there are some background thoughts. So what you are doing, when you do metta, so when you are practicing metta for the whole directions and whenever you have that kind of negative feelings, then you replace it with the metta. That means you are, you know, we do some, when it is cold, we put heat pump and we condition the air. So we call air conditioning. So when it is cold, we put the air conditioner in high heat and then we condition the air. When it is hot, we condition the air to the cold level. So likewise, we condition the background thoughts by doing those things. But remember, those are not eradicating our defilements. Those are just replacing. So the background thoughts are now clearing. There's no any anger thoughts. Anger thoughts are there, but it is not coming forward because the metta or karuna or mudita or Buddha's qualities or whatever, they are running in background. So whenever you see someone, if you are not doing those things, whenever you see someone, even your daughter, maybe son or relative, the angry thoughts are coming. Even without any reasons, because most of the time, maybe says, okay, that person is always get angry. Why? Because his background, that person's background is always with the angry thoughts. So whenever something happened, whenever he see things, he caught up with that angry things, the entanglement is there. With the angry thoughts, background angry thoughts. In psychology, they say, mini clips, running mini clips in background. So when you recondition that background thoughts with metta or something, that comes forward every time when you see something, when you hear something, when you smell something, every time that thoughts are the entangled one. So no longer anger or anything, but remember, that is like a wound is there. You just put the plaster. Still wound is there. So, but by being mindful, what you do, you open the wound and just let it to clean. That cleansing is happening while you are doing mindfulness practice. You know, you observe, when you are angry, you observe it. So you know now you are angry. So you know what is happening when you are angry. So how it comes. So you are analyzing it. While you are analyzing, the wisdom arises, as I said before. But doing that metta, karuna, mudita or any other techniques, what you do, you cover the wound. Did you understand or do you want any more explanations? Panchani? Panchani, ne?
Yes, Manio, I understand what you are saying. But the problem is, Manio, when those emotions are really heightened, I can't touch them before they arise. The mindfulness is still not strong enough to identify them before it arises. So when they get heightened, I get these big emotional bursts and then I can't focus on the work that I need to get done. So that's the problem, at least with the metta, at least those are not arising, so you can maintain it to a degree. I know I'm not clearing the wound, but it's when the present moment is unbearable, sometimes it's difficult.
Yeah, what I'm going to advise you, you can continue the metta and the mindfulness is also should do. So whenever you can, you do the mindfulness. Whenever you can't, you do the metta. So you can use both.
Manio, yes, absolutely. Much merit. Thank you, Manio. Thank you, everyone.
Teruvan saranai.
Thank you, Manu. I think I just want to make a comment about the Manu's talk. I really like the Manu said, like, thinking like I'm eradicating these defilements, we can't do that. And Manu, during the talk, it's kind of, I think, saying that I'm eradicating something, it's kind of developing ego. I feel like that. And then during the talk, Manu said, like, when anger comes, the ego is there. But and I think we can't really clearly identify where's the anger and ego. But when we put the mindfulness there, it make a differentiate with thoughts and myself, I guess. So then we can clearly see and gradually dilute the anger still there, but dilute the ego. I think when we initially find that when we can differentiate the anger, like thoughts, when like through the mindfulness, I believe we can. My understanding is we can understand the anger, and that way gradually we will walk on the path. And as Manio said earlier, like when we start to do the mindfulness practice, and when we get more frustrated, then when we realize I'm still get angry and I'm still have that jealousy feeling. But I think that's the first part. Like at least I know now I have those things. Earlier, before I didn't do any mindfulness, I never knew that this much anger I had, and I was angry and I reacted, and then I realized, oh, I was angry, I did this. But now at least I know when it's arising, I can really feel. Sometimes there's another voice kind of keep telling me, oh, Rajika, you're going to get angry now, oh, it's coming, I can really feel that. And that way, before it kind of blasts, I actually, at my workspace, I managed to control for the first time. I'm so proud of myself after so many years, so-called practice recently this year. Before it come out, I managed to control my anger with my coworkers. And then I think if it burst out that day, it going to be a big, you know, few weeks or maybe counseling or something, like big process. I stop recognizing my feeling before it burst out. And as Manu said, like with the evidence, like we always try to believe something from, you know, scientific proof or something. But recently I was listening to this positive mindset talks and stuff, but then I realized there are so many research has been done regarding the mindfulness, how the mindfulness improve our thought patterns, and that way, like we can get rid of all the bad emotions and kind of live a happy life. It's I feel like when I read or listen to all those podcasts, it's just like I kind of listening like Nasanti Sutta, like exactly, you know, it's not the outside thing. It's just we are dealing with our own, fighting with our own sankapa. That's all it's happening. Like I feel like I'm listening to the Buddha's work in a different words through those podcasts. So I just want to summarize all those ideas that came into my mind while I was listening to your talk, Manu.
Yeah, one thing I want to say that you mentioned anger and the ego, and when you are mindful, that part. So the most important thing is if you are mindful, if you are really, really mindful, there is no any space for ego. Anger, if you are angry and you are mindful about the anger, that feeling. So you can feel that, you know that, and while you are being mindful on that, there's no ego. As long as you are mindful, no ego. So yes. If you are not mindful, then the ego comes and then, okay, that person is doing so this again and again, and the last time he did that, and you know, all those things comes with the ego.
Yeah, that's true, Manu. Yeah. And even that time that the incident happened at my workplace, I was just thinking like the person did that. Then I was thinking, now why should I get angry for that? Like it's out of my control. So something came into my mind. I can't really control that person's action. I can only control my reaction. I think somewhere I heard that. So that way it just stopped what I was going to do. So yeah, I think sometimes still get egos coming, but still I kind of identify that this is.
Rajika, you know what? The anger is simply, we are the kind of feeling that we arise within us because someone else did something wrong. Not me, someone else did something wrong and I am getting the punishment. I am having the punishment. So yeah, this is a kind of small world within us. So
Yeah, interesting topic. Thank you very much, Manu. I think that's the end of the Q&A session. I will hand over to Sonali, you.
Thank you, Rajika. Thank you, Manu. An interesting session today. We actually have come to an end now, and I'd like to thank everyone who had sent us reports, thank everyone who asked questions to keep this program more engaging, and of course, Venerable Manuel, who has guided us. And on behalf of all the organizers, we have to thank and give merits to especially Venerable Manu today stepping in for today's session, and also our usual Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Seiro, who usually guide us, and also the Chief Abbot of Nisaranwanaya, Venerable Udayiriyakama Dhamma Jivatero. May these merits help them all to improve their own practice. And thank you for all the organizers who are keeping this session going and managing the program. And thank you to everyone who participated today via Zoom, Facebook, or will be watching later on. So as usual, the meeting will take place at 1 p.m. Sri Lankan time next week as well. And may you all have a happy and mindful week ahead. We will end the session now.